Wonderful. Good evening. It's good to see you today in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me now to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. We're going to look at one verse and launch from there, okay? Psalm 19. Now, all those who have been expecting to hear Pastor Matt, I've prayed extra for you, just so you know. I know what that's like, anticipating a message, and then somebody else is in the pulpit, and hey, what gives with that, and all the rest, okay? So we get it. And I do want to thank Pastor Mark for the opportunity to preach God's Word, our Lord, too, for that matter. It's always good to be with the church family. I want you to realize something about tonight's message. First of all, several things apply. Now, I'm hearing just a little bit of a reverb, Brian. Several things apply. When I called Pastor Matt last night, I wanted to encourage the brother and pray with him. And I asked him if he was locked and loaded. He said, "Why, yes, yes, I am." He says, "Are you?" And I said, "Well, I believe the Lord's got a word for us tonight, or for tomorrow night." When I was talking with him, he said, "Will it be 53 minutes worth of a word?" That's what he said. And I had to remind Pastor Matt that I only quit when I'm finished, so I never go too long. Second thing that's applying to this message, you're not going to hear it tonight, except that it first preached to me. I've been under deep conviction preparing this message. Out with a godly man for lunch and said something I shouldn't have said. That happens to me periodically. You would guess that. But that's not really how this message has put me under conviction. I've been having terrible thoughts lately. There's been some injustice in my view at work. Someone that's near and dear to me has gotten the short end of the stick, and that's about all I'm at liberty to say. But it's troubled me. I've thought some thoughts, and the devil has sat on my shoulder and accused me along the way. And my heart just hasn't been pure before the Lord. You ever get that way? Am I the only one in God's house tonight that fights that? So the third thing about the message is, please pray for me while you hear me preach. Almost changed which sermon I was going to preach. That's how deeply under conviction. It's one of these things like, how dare I preach this to you when I can't live it myself? By the way, when I sat on your side of the pew prior to surrendering to God's call 28 years ago, I used to always believe preachers practiced what they preached. And then God called me to preach, and I learned differently. We're just on our faith journey together. So now, those of you who are able to stand for the reading of God's infallible, inerrant word, let's stand as we take a look at Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. And the word of God says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let's pray. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. God's people are praying. Lord God, I thank you for your mercy. For you and I know, Lord, I don't want what I deserve. I would pray just for the next few minutes, Lord, we can focus on you and you alone, that I might rightly divide your word, that we all may receive it, me and those listening, Lord. Fill me, won't you, with the power of the Holy Spirit? Prepare all hearts. For, Lord, we know this verse is the lifeblood of where we live. We know that you've put it in there just for us, just this night. We're trusting you now. And we're thankful that you loved us enough to send Jesus. In whose name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've got dry pipes tonight. Please forgive me for that. I want to speak on this subject tonight, beloved, pleasing God in our thoughts and words. I believe this message will be helpful to us. I also believe that this message will be challenging. I also believe this message will be insightful regarding the spiritual warfare which I believe every one of us is in until we get to heaven. You see, we are in a real battle, and I believe that the battle is fought in our thoughts and in our words. I believe that when you and I receive thoughts that we should not receive and should not think, we find ourselves in a battle. I also believe that when we speak words that our Lord told us not to speak, we find ourselves in a battle. I also think that this message will show us the importance of our thoughts and the importance of our words. But praise God, I also believe at the same time that this message will give us great hope that in Jesus we can have victory in our thoughts and our words that are pleasing to our Lord. Have you ever noticed that in God's Word, the Bible, there are just some verses that jump right out on us and jump right out to us? John 3:16 would be one of those. Fellas, when we watch the Monday night football game and see the banner there in the stands in the end zone and see John 3:16, it recalls to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How wonderful! Jesus is for everyone. The Word says he loves the world. But then I believe another scripture that kind of jumps out on the page can be Hebrews 9:27. The Word of God says, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Friends, there is death, but there is something more than death. There is judgment. And I also believe that Psalm 19:14 is one of those verses that kind of just jumps out on the page and grabs us. Admittedly, many, many more verses could be named tonight, but these are the three that I thought of. And 19:14 of the Psalm says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We must always remember, beloved, that this verse marks, listen, the heart of our life, how we live daily, and how our life consists of what we think. Because this is key. Remember this. What you think, you choose. And what you choose, you do. And what you do, you become. Yes, I believe that the words that come out of our mouth either produce life or death, because that's what the Scripture says. And there's a battle for our thoughts, and there's a battle for our words. And whether we know it or not, We are in spiritual warfare most of the time. So this verse tonight that we're looking at shows us several things. Several things, while challenging perhaps, are helpful as well. The first thing it shows us is that everything I do and you do, and everything I have and you have, and every word I speak and you speak, we are accountable to the Lord. That's what the psalmist David meant when he said, "My Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer." It kind of reminds us of how the words are captured and the thoughts are captured for us in Psalm 139. The Word of God says in verses 1 and 4, "O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You, listen, comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted," listen, "with all my ways." In other words, friends, the things that we don't see about you and you don't see about me, God sees about us all the time, 24/7. He's acquainted, the Word of God says, with all our ways. And then Psalm 39, 1 through 4 finishes up with this, "For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." So we would be in a world of hurt if the first part of our scripture verse tonight was all that our Lord ever told us about in Psalm 19. In other words, if it said, "Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." If that's all the verse said, we'd be in a world of hurting. But our Lord never leaves us in the lurch, beloved. He always throws us a safety net. He goes on to say, "O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." The Word of God teaches, beloved, in my view, that the tongue cannot be tamed by man. And the carnal man is enmity before God. The carnal mind, pardon me. Now, carnal just simply means a mind that is not controlled by Jesus. So if your thoughts and if your words are ever going to be pleasing to God, it is only when He is your Lord, your strength, and your Redeemer. We have to let Him be Lord of what comes into our mind, and we have to let Him be Lord of what stays in our mind. I'm not there yet, are you? You see, when your mind and your words are under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ, then and only then will they be acceptable, yes, pleasing to God. Yes, the psalmist David says it this way, "I want my thoughts, I want my words to be acceptable, pleasing to you." And they can be, David says, "because you are my Lord." So why then, Brother Thad, do I have so much difficulty and get in so much trouble with my thoughts? Answer, you've not surrendered your mind to Jesus. Hey, if your thought life is in the gutter, mine's been there for a few weeks. I'm talking about wrong thinking, not dirty thinking. But maybe you're having dirty thinking. Hey, just surrender your mind to Jesus Christ. And it's amazing that a mind that's not controlled by Jesus, the Word of God says, is enmity against God. What's that word mean? Hatred. That's why David says, "I can't think the things that please God, and I can't say the words that think that please God." But then he says later, reading the entire verse, he realizes, well, after all, I can do it. I can think the things that, after all, that can please God, and I can say the words after all that does please God, because He is my strength. Sounds like something familiar to us from Philippians 4 and 13, doesn't it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ now, not on your own strength. So we realize we're in a battle. And the battle for some of us can be daily, some of us hour by hour, some of us moment by moment. I've been in a battle moment by moment by moment most of today. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only our Lord and only our strength, but He is also our Redeemer. David says it this way. An awesome picture of Jesus as the Redeemer. He purchases us, He buys us back, He pays for us. Picture this. You and I are separated from a holy God through sin, but Jesus paid the price. He redeemed us. He bought us back. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. 1 Peter 1 and 18 captures it for us, beloved. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. My friends, Jesus bought us back. He's our Redeemer. He's our strength. He's our Lord. He bought us back, and He did it with His shed blood. And He paid the price and redeemed us from the penalty of sin. He redeemed us from the power of sin. And we, like David, can say, He is our Lord. He is our strength. He is our Redeemer. Let's claim it now in Jesus' name. But then, of course, there's something to be said about the importance of our words as well. Listen to what the Word of God talks about when speaking about words or language. Proverbs 13 and 3 says it this way. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. How about you? Are you guarding your tongue these days so as you not destroy? I've not been guarding mine. How about Proverbs 15 and 4? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it bruises the spirit. Are you perverted in your words and in your speech? Then Proverbs 18 and 21 says it this way. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yes, you and I, beloved, can speak life into a person's life. We can speak help and not harm. How? Through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who is our strength, who is our Redeemer. Certainly not on our own, rather through Christ. James 1 and 26 reminds us that no man can tame the tongue. The Word says in that verse, if anyone among you is religious and he does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. Can you imagine? Now, what's the reason our words are so important? Well, the answer is it reveals what's in our heart. Have you ever thought about that? Not what you say particularly, but how you say it. You get short with your spouse. Do you not have much use for your daughter-in-law? Does that nephew of yours ever get a break? That neighbor living life as a lost person. Doesn't make them bad, just makes them lost. The one that gets on your last nerve. That one. All he needs is Jesus. And we rarely can muster kind words because our heart is not right in the sight of the Lord. Matthew 12, 33 and 36. Now this is Jesus talking to the religious folk. You and I know them as Pharisees. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. And then our Lord never minces words. He says, brood of vipers. You get this? He's talking to the most religious, and he calls them a bunch of snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Wow. Lord, do you mean every word I have ever spoken that's never brought hope but instead brings harm is going to be judged and met with judgment? No wonder David prayed, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Gee, I've got to remember that every time I pop off. But there's good news. We can guard our tongue by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 21 and 23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue, listen, keeps his soul from troubles. James 1 and 19 reminds us, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. In plain talk, God gave us two ears and one tongue. He wants to listen. He wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. Better guard our tongues. Better guard our tongues. So the first reason, the importance of our word, or the importance of our thought life, in other words, what we think we become, and it's a sobering thought, isn't it? So when we guard our tongue, so the importance of our words and the importance of our thoughts. But I just wonder if any of us here tonight understand the importance of our words and importance of our thoughts. You see, in the book of Romans, the Word of God says that there's a caution, if you will, cautions the carnal mind, that the mind is not controlled by Jesus. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says it this way, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Galatians 6 puts it this way. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will also of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The Lord is concerned about our heart. He doesn't want us to sow to our flesh. You know, the bitterness of life, malice, and impure thoughts. He'd rather us sow to our spirit. Peace and joy and encouragement. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he, speaking of humankind. I think it's so important for us because of this. Our thoughts lead to choices. And our choices lead to acts. And our acts lead to habits. And our habits lead to strongholds. My friends, make no mistake, it's no exaggeration. There's a battle going on for your thought life. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5 reminds us, starting in verse 4 really, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." In plain talk, when you have thoughts that lead to choices and choices that lead to acts and acts that lead to habits and habits that lead to strongholds, praise be to God, we're not left without a safety net. The Word of God says, God for pulling down our strongholds, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know, these days, there's more reason than ever to be looking forward to heaven in my life. But one of the ways is that I can have all of my thoughts when I'm on Jesus' side of heaven, taken captive to Christ in obedience to Jesus. I'm not there yet. Are you? Oh, well, there's good news. The Word of God will renew our mind. The Word of God will cleanse our mind. And the Word of God will enable us to think pleasing thoughts to our Lord. How? Well, by the washing of the Word. God's Word says in John 15 and 3, "You are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you," Jesus talking. And then John 17 and 17 reminds us that we are to sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is your truth. Now I've got one more scripture reference for you, but let's first take a look right up on the screen. Reach for that pink Kroger insert. And get ready to make your notes. Look what it says. Pleasing God in thoughts and words. Psalm 19 and 14. So how then can my thoughts and my words remain acceptable in the sight of God? Here's the first thing. Write it down. It'll help you. Number one, surrender your heart to Christ. It's been moment by moment for me today, beloved. Now, it's not always moment by moment for me, but boy, it has been today. Number two, keep your heart pure. Number three, surrender your mouth to Christ. Number four, guard your tongue. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. Our Lord gives us the roadmap. Turn in your Bibles now to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And here's how you do it. Do what? Surrender your heart to Christ, keep your heart pure, surrender your mouth to Christ, and guard your tongue. Here's how you do it. We're talking about words. We're talking about thought life. Here's your thought life. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, what's the very next word? Say it. What? Mine says meditate on these things. And then you and I, like David, can pray, Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. As our musicians make their way now, I want you to consider between you and the Lord, if He has spoken to you tonight, settle it tonight, won't you? The altar's free. I'll be down there. I won't be the only one, will I? And come and get your life right. Get your heart pure before the Lord. Repent. Change. I can't do it. That's right, you can't. But our Lord, who is our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer, can. He can change you. And then, of course, after you do your business with the Lord, stick around. Because there may be some who need to come to Jesus this very night. You can't claim half of the things that we talked about tonight, let alone those that are in the Scripture, because you don't know our Lord in a personal way. There's good news there. You can come to Jesus. Well, what gets me saved? Walking the aisle of a Baptist church? No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Still, there may be some here that want to join this sweet fellowship. You come. Our deacon can receive you. Whatever God is expressing to you right now, won't you take care of business?